Talk Radio Radio
Podcast。
UK Apologetics Library Introducing
John Young。
Loving Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we stand in awe of you. We come into your presence. We bow the knee at home, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds. Lord, you are everything to us. Our life, our way, our end, our all. Our coming judge, for we will stand before you and give an account for our lives, for every foolish word, for every word which should not come out of our mouths. So teach us to repent, to keep repenting, the life and death principle of the Holy Scriptures, to repent before a holy God. This we ask, Father, in the mighty name of thy only begotten, thy Son who came. He sat next to you in the throne in glory. And then the next second, when you said, "Are you ready, my son?" he became a tiny, tiny little cell in his mother's womb. And he grew. He came forth, first to break the wound. He's blessed unto the Lord. And he was blessed of you. This is my son. I am well pleased in him. This is my son. Listen to him. Help us, Lord, to listen to the words of Yeshua, Jesus our Lord, more and more. To read them daily, Lord. To keep short accounts with thee, we pray. And so, Lord, once again, as we look into the book of life, the words of life, open up eyes and ears, hearts and minds, the glory and truth of thy eternal word. Living word, Yeshua Jesus, now by your Spirit, have your way amongst your people. Amen and amen. 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 I want to speak today on Lot in three ways. Lot the backslider, Lot the worldly believer, and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's first of all then look at Lot the backslider. This man, through a weak testimony, lost his fortune in Sodom. He lost his family in Sodom. His son-in-law stayed behind. Why? Because he didn't put the fear of God, the reverence of God into them. And they thought he was joking that the Lord was going to destroy such a huge city. So he lost his fortune, his family. He would lose his wife because she looked back. And so he nearly lost his faith in Sodom. Love not the world, 1 John 2:15 teaches us. Some have left their first love, Revelation 2:4. And so there's a lot in the life of Lot for us to learn today, to remember, to teach others, because so many in the church are falling into the trap of trying to live in a world which is unrighteous. You can't do it. Take that away, you'll see all the points right away. And so, in three ways, Lot the backslider typifies people in the church who are backslidden. He was weak in his devotions. That's important. Weak in his devotions. And yet he was counted as a righteous man. Let's look at what Peter writes about him under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not just his own thoughts, but what God wanted him to write. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. If you sit amongst the wicked, if you sit amongst backsliders, if you sit amongst thieves, if you sit amongst gossips, if you sit amongst worldly people, grace despisers, what are you going to become? All of those things. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company. Come out and be separate. That's why God says in Revelation, "Come out from amongst them, my children. Come out and be separate, lest ye share in her sins." The sins of the world are many. They grieve God. That's why way back he looked upon the earth and he said to himself, "Every thought of man is evil. He wants to do whatever he wants to do." Well, those days are upon us now. We're living in the days of Noah, but we're living in the days of Sodom. And so we see this lawlessness and this sexual permissiveness. And so he was weak. For that righteous man dwelling amongst them tormented his righteous soul from day unto day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. To as many as the Lord will call, the road is narrow unto eternal life. It is wide unto destruction, and many are going down it. Enter ye in the gate. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am Emmanuel. I am Ben Elohim. I am Mashiach. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am your Redeemer. I am the Creator. That's what was written in here. And no one's ever disproved it. That's why we stand on the Word of God. Because it's the most read, most sold, most bought, most given away, most printed book that has ever been printed on God's green earth. And we can stand in that. Stand on the truth. When they disprove the Bible, I'll burn it, throw it away, and I'll become like Lot. Although I'll still be righteous because I've been sealed. But that's the problem. People are beginning to just muck about with their faith and think that, well, they can do this. They can compromise and conform just a little bit. But I've taught before, once you compromise and conform, you will become contaminated and ultimately corrupted. And the salt is thrown out, your Lord said. The salt is thrown out to be trampled on. Lot was a bad witness, a bad witness. He was weak in his devotions. And it tells us that in verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And so he was weak in his devotions. He had to follow someone. And that's what most people have to do. They have to follow someone. And yet sometimes they look to brothers or sisters or to pastors. Indeed, far too many are lifted up on a pedestal and almost worshipped. That has to stop in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messianic community. Why? Because all the glory is his. He raises up and he can pull down. Our devotions are to be daily. That we go to sleep with his name on our mind, on our lips. That we awake in the morning and his name is on our lips. And so we've just sung that song, Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way, any foolish way. There can be besetting sins for the people of God. And we've got to break out. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, he raises up the standard. Hallelujah. It is when you begin to cry out to heaven that the Lord Jesus, the living waters, rise up by the Spirit of God and the double portion comes upon you and you become a man and a woman of power because you've got prayer. You've got the privilege of it. You've got the power of it, the presence of it, because where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of thee. Hallelujah. We don't need hundreds and thousands because that's the world's plan. He started with 12 men. Then he had about 500 who all saw him. These were witnesses. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, many of those brothers are alive today. And these Jews went out around the world and a lot of them died for their faith. And the Gentiles began to believe. And it says in Acts, as many as the Lord called. Why? Because salvation belongs to him. That's why Peter could write Lot was a righteous man, but he was a foolish man. He was weak in his devotions. He was worldly in his desires. Genesis 13:10 tells us this. He had a desire. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And so Lot chose for himself. He chose. He wanted to be with the world. That was a bad, bad mistake. When your desires are not heavenly, when your desires are not focused on the Lord and what he wants you to do, because he's guaranteeing you the world's. This world's going to be crushed. It's going to be burnt. The heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. He's going to crush all the planets in our universe, in our galaxy. And then we're going, Scotty, where no man has been before. We're beaming up, hallelujah. The Lord Yeshua will speak and we'll beam up in the twinkling of an eye. That's his promise. The worlds belong to him. I was watching a program about the universe and they've given up counting beyond half a trillion stars. It just goes on and on and on. What was the Lord doing in the beginning? He was doing this. And planets were appearing. He makes something out of nothing. He formed the worlds. If he's not in charge, we've got a lot of problems. There's no use us trying to go to Mars and, you know, colonize it. That's foolishness. They're looking for what? Intelligent life, as I've said before, out there. You can't find it because they're blinded by the God of this world down here. The foolishness of men and following the ways of men. We cannot follow men. We have to check everything a man says. And if a man is not in the book, if he's not in the word, if he doesn't take the word literally, then he will make mistakes. Then he will be a false guide. He will be a false shepherd. And he will be a hireling before the Lord. This man was weak in his devotions, worldly in his desires, and above all, wrong in his decisions. What was it about his decisions? His decisions were focused on trying to build his own little kingdom instead of building God's. You see, Abraham walked with God and God increased him. I believe he was the first millionaire in the Bible. Job was another millionaire. God doesn't have a problem with millionaires or with rich people. What he has a problem with is what they do with their money. That's the problem. Because money grips you. It owns you. You need it to do this and to do that. And I've been watching the television recently with golf, and these adverts come on afterwards, and it's one thing after another. And suddenly you've got these desires. Oh, I need this, I need that. No, you don't. You've got to have the second house. You've got to be in the Bahamas. You've got to be able to jet off. You've got to go down to the pubs and clubs. You've got to be seen on the beach. You've got to have the latest flip-flops, the latest whatever. It's ridiculous. It goes on and on and on. The world will just keep heaping itself up. Wrong in his decisions. Listen, life is made of decisions. Some are major, some are minor. But each one of these decisions that you make as a believer, as a disciple, and that's what I keep teaching, I want to take believers and make them disciples. Because the higher life is as a disciple. Each of these has a bearing on your eternal future. Because some people are going to be pretty poor. They'll have their salvation. They'll be able to walk on streets of gold and glory. But if they've done nothing for the Lord, if they've not been a prayer warrior, if they've not been an encourager, if they've not been this or that, whatever God has given. Why? Because it tells us each of us has a gift and we are to use it in the body of Christ. That's why Celeste has put up a website for women. Because she wants to draw women to realize what they've got. They're not second-class citizens. They're to march forward as evangelists. They're to go forward as missionaries. They're to go forward to teach the children. They're to go forward in doing the things that women should do that it speaks of in the Bible. So I'm not going to go into women, etc., on there, but I'm just saying briefly, that's what we are to be. We've got a gift. Use it and display it. Use it for God. Now, let me say something very important now. Decisions are determined by our desires. And our desires are determined by our devotions, or indeed, the lack of them. So let's read that again. Our decisions are determined by our desires. And our desires are determined by our devotions. Can you see that? That's why this is the spiritual life application principle. That is why Lot stands out as someone we are to learn from. Now, we're told in two places that we're to learn from Israel because she made mistakes and the church is making the very same. On whom the ends of the ages have come, it tells us in the scriptures. And so we're to learn the life lessons from the people's lives that are printed in here for us because they can teach us so much. So that's Lot the backslider. Let's now see Lot the worldly believer. What was he doing in Sodom? He shouldn't have been there in the first place, but he wanted to. You see, Lot never asked Abraham, was it a good place to raise children? All he wanted to know was it was a good place to raise cattle and sheep, that it had plenty of running water. But he didn't think about the people that were already there. And so he had a second-hand faith. He lived a worldly and a carnal life before all. That's why when the angels grabbed him and his wife and his daughters, the son stayed behind. because his testimony wasn't good enough. You cannot live for both worlds. It's as simple as that. You cannot. His wife tried. That's why Jesus says in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. The scholars have given that one statement of Jesus a line on its own. Remember, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Because Lot had her eyes fixed on the world. You see, I meet Christians and they say, well, I've not been married yet. You're married to the Lord. I've not done this. I've not had children. Well, so what? There's a generation that's going to be raptured, taken away, and they'll never have those things because there are greater things than those waiting. That's why it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has got prepared for his people. So this life is meaningless to me. I'm simply passing through. I'll go on a few day drives, I'll play a few games of golf, and I'll do this and I'll do that. But I'm focused on the people of God to build them up, to get them to meet together. Because if you try on your own to walk this life as Lot did, you won't do it. Because as the head of the family, he affected his wife. His wife affected the daughters. The daughters affected their husbands. He lost his fortune, and he made a fortune. He lost his family, apart from his two daughters. And look what they did at the end of the day. And he nearly lost his faith. That righteous man who vexed his soul, tormented it by listening to the garbage, to the cursing, etc. When people begin to swear, if you ask them to stop and they don't, walk away from them. That will do something to their conscience. Why? Because God has put the thoughts of eternity into every human heart. It says that in Ecclesiastes. Solomon wrote it for us. You cannot live for both worlds. His wife tried and failed miserably. Remember Lot's wife. Four lessons then. Lot's choice. His choice was when he stood with Abram. And Abram said, listen, let there be no strife between us. These are in the verses of chapter 13. Let there be no strife between us. You decide which way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go up, I'll go down, and vice versa. And that's important. So Lot's choice was that he was given first choice. But he made a bad choice. He made a bad choice. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. He should have come out to be separate, but he didn't. He stayed in. Now he gets leavened. His choice brought about his chains. Simple as that. Lot's chains. He was simply, of course, in and amongst it all. Now let's go to chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. The enemies of Sodom. The world fights the world. It's doing it today. Wanting to take land. Rome was built on slavery. I mean, when I went to school, Rome was built, and it was on seven beautiful hills. They civilized the known world, John. And I just swallowed the pill. They didn't civilize the world. They took captive the world. They traded with the blood of men and women. They had slaves. They used them as sex playthings. They whipped them to death. They sold them at their leisure. A slave was just nothing to a Roman person. No, but John, they gave us central heating. I said, well, somebody else would have given us this. They gave us this. They built roads. I said, well, yeah, God used the roads so the evangelists could go down them under Pax Roma, under the peace of Rome. And use the peace of God into the spiritual. The physical counts for naught. The spiritual is everything. You're going to get a new body. And so his chains are there. The enemies come against him. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods and departed. Suddenly, through a bad choice, he's in chains. You make a bad choice, you will end up in chains. You will enslave yourself. And God will have to rescue you. And he then says, how many times do you keep making the same mistake, my child? You've been here before. When you recognize the snare, walk away from it. Get a big rock and smash the snare and say, get behind me, Satan. I know your ways. I know how clever you can be. You've done it to a lot of people over the years. So his choice became chains, and his children suffered for it. Simply, we see that in chapter 19, verses 14 to 29. We're not going to go through all the verses because you can read the Bible yourself. But we're seeing here that Sodom is being destroyed. But his children didn't really want to leave. Their husbands were pulling the strings in their hearts. You see, a woman's desire will be for her husband. Even when he's bald, even when he's got glasses, even when all his teeth have dropped out, her desire will be for a husband. Because she's only got to look or point the finger, look in the glass, the mirror, and she can see that her hair is not what it was. That she's got glasses, that she's got false teeth as well. And so the desire has to be the two become one flesh. And so we have pastors in the church that think they can trade in old tires. They think they can remarry. Well, what an example they're giving the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. They will give an account for it. His children suffered. He suffered. And if we read on, we would see, of course, what they did with him. Because they had no husbands, they then said, let's lie with our father. Let's get him drunk so that we can procreate. Always you see the same mistake that Sarah made. I'll never bear a child. I'll never bear a child. And so Hagar, the bondwoman, come, lie with my husband. That would drive me nuts. If, my wife said to me, well, lie with so-and-so so we can have a child. I said, no, I won't lie with so-and-so. What was Abraham thinking of at that point? And the psalmist writes, of course, about Sarah. The Lord says her womb was dry. She was like an empty well. And so I still gave her a child. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. To those who believe, they receive. To those who believe, they receive. To those who doubt, they get out. Simple as that. Now, it's not about your greed, it's about your need. That's the caution there. That's both sides of the coin. But Lot's character is seen in chapters 13, chapter 14, and chapter 19. And that's important. Why? Because his life story is about his character, his conduct. He sojourns in Sodom. He rules as an official. And the king of Sodom probably gave him an official position because we read he was at the gate handing out favors, notices, giving instructions, decisions, etc., because Abraham was a mighty warrior, a righteous man. And so the king of Sodom probably feared him and said, well, I better look after Lot. So he sojourns in Sodom. He rules as an official. But then we see he suffers captivity. He reaps what he sows. Now that's exactly a biblical principle that God oversees over every human being, saved, unsaved. You reap what you sow. If you sit with mockers, you become a mocker. If you sit with drunkards, you become a drunkard eventually. You reap what you sow. If you lie, then God will discipline you. If you gossip about your brother or sister, then God will make sure somebody gossips about you. And so that's important. We're not to enter into gossip, we're to enter into righteous judgment. There is a difference. We are to sharpen each other's swords. That's very important. If we don't, then if we don't give people the truth, no matter how unpalatable it is, no matter how big they are up the ladder, John the Baptist wasn't fearful of kings, queens, and anybody else. He was prepared to lay his life down, and he did. Simple as that. You know, there's something in Timothy that I've looked at time and time again as an elder, as a pastor, as I've learned the ways of God, because it was a training ground. I didn't come at day one fully equipped to be a pastor. In fact, I didn't call myself a pastor at day one. We simply had elders. But I knew that someone had to be a first among equals and shepherd the flock and guide them and teach them, because not all have got a teaching gift. Some elders are administrators. They are teachers of the Word of God, but they're not preachers. They're not upfront people, some of them. That doesn't matter. as long as they can teach and guard and guide and grow with the pastor, the flock of God. Each has got different gifts. But it's important that I had to learn as a young man, and in the beginning I got swallowed up with someone because he was always trying to sort out the problems in the church. Always attacking this, always criticizing, this was wrong, that was wrong, he's wrong, she's wrong, this church is wrong, this movement's wrong, this is not that. It will consume you if you get into that mode. You've got to get a balance, especially as an elder. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. That's difficult. That's difficult. Able to teach, patient. Now, patience isn't one of my strong qualities. You either run with me or I'll leave you behind. I'm like a bull in the china shop. That's my birth sign, I'm told, because I'm born in April. You either go with me, and Paul was the same. You go with me, Mark, or I'll leave you behind. And it caused a big argument. But years later, Paul says, send him, because Mark's now grown up. He's learned wisdom. He's learned how to handle men. He's learned when to say just enough and not rebuke. Just to correct, but not rebuke. Then to correct, rebuke. And then exhort and pick up again. So in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There are men out there that are working for the devil and they don't know it, because they're into this worldly program. Culture, tolerance, many ways to God. They don't want us born-again Christians saying, no, there is a single line which we draw in the sand. Yeshua is Mashiach. End of story. Yeshua is King. He has been given the name above all names by his Father. That salvation belongs to God, no other way. I've been singing that song for, well, a lot of Jewish moons. Repentance is the life and death principle of the Scriptures. I said it in my prayer at the beginning. So there are men out there that get into programs and they err and they get tied up with worldly ways, and we've got to correct them. Not just criticize them, but correct them. If they don't receive it, then shake the dust off your feet and they'll give an account to God. But then we warn the flock, don't follow that organization, don't follow these men, because they err. Because they're getting into ecumenical dialogue, into worldly programs with a social gospel, and the social gospel is this emerging church. Now, I've got a person that's come to High Christian Fellowship. She went to a Pentecostal church. She comes to us and she says, you know, this is like coming to church. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, the other church had banging drums, electric guitars, and it was get down and get with it. It sounded nice at times. I felt a little bit happy, but there was all this noise, and then the word wasn't as deep as yours is. So now she realized she's tasted the truth, and she's happy and content, and she's settling down with us. Now, that's what's going to happen. People are going to come out of Laodicea, and they're going to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to come out of the days of lawlessness of Noah, and they're going to be looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. That's the truth of it. So we cannot, because once you suffer captivity by getting into this emerging church, you will be snared. But we are to consistently, continuously speak to them if they listen. Once they close the door, they've closed it, our duty's done, we warn the flock. Simple as that. That's his life. That's his character. He suffers captivity and then he's set free. So he sojourns in Sodom, suffers captivity, but then he's set free. Why? Because God sent judges to Israel. Deborah, Gideon, Samson. All these were judges so that they, the people, would be set free because they got themselves into captivity. You see, the Bible just keeps repeating these things again and again and again. He's set free. But what does Lot do? Straight back into Sodom. So the next point of his life is, he's now got to be rescued by God, because God's had enough of Sodom, because their foolishness, their evil ways, their vileness, in fact, has reached his ears and eyes. He watches, he sees all things. And so he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. So now we've seen Lot the backslider. We've seen Lot, the worldly believer. Now we see the doom of Sodom. What will be again. This earth is going to burn with fire at the end of the day. After the 1,000 years is finished, God is taking in the New Jerusalem a people who will obey Him, who have walked with Him, who know Him, who are born again. Because if you're not born again, you're going nowhere. Simple as that. So the doom of Sodom, quite literally, what has been will be again. It is the life lesson of Lot. All the things I've said about him as a backslider, as a worldly believer, are now summed up in this life lesson. Here we can see the moral perversions. The moral perversions. The prevalence of sin. It was so great that God flooded the world once, but he's going to flood it again because it's flooded with dissipation, evil ways. And so God will not be mocked. The prevalence of sin in chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. It's incredible. The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom when Lot saw them. So there he is, sitting with the officials, passing the time of day. Bad company corrupting good character. Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. That's why he was a righteous man. He knew angels. He knew he was in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Angels had been sent to rescue him. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house. Spend the night, wash your feet, then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they laid down, the men of the city, here they come, the sodomites, the homosexuals, "We want our way." That's exactly what's happening today. We want our way. Not only do we want our way, we used to do it in the back streets, in little seedy houses. Now we want to do it openly, and we want you to agree to it. The men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. Why? Because they're as one as we are one. They're as one in their way, and we're as one in our way. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight?" Fresh meat, you see. "Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." Not know them, chat about them, where have you come from, etc. What a mistake they were making. These were powerful angels. They're all about to be turned into silly men groping around blind because they dare. The prevalence of sin, and it's the persistence of it we can see. It's prevalent and it's persistent. And that can only bring punishment, the third P. It's as simple as that. Where sin has a prevalence and a persistence, God will not be mocked. He's a jealous God. He is a God who created. He's got the right and the might, and we've got no right to break his rules. And so it doesn't matter that men try to become legislators. Oh, we're not interested in God's word anymore. I'm not interested in what your pastor says. I'm not interested in what your God says. I'm not interested about this Jesus. There are many Jesuses. Jesus said there would be. They'll come and say, "I am he." We had one silly clown come from Australia with his entourage. Came to this country thinking that he is Jesus. And somebody asked him to change water into wine. The persistence of it in verses 6 and 9. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him. So at least he's now trying to act righteous. He shuts the door, he closes the door, just as God closed the door of the ark. You've got to close the door of your house to Mormons, to JWs when they come knocking. Walk outside. Don't invite them in. They're bringing sin into a house of shalom. Talk to them in the street. I've invited them in the past, and I've got them into a corner, and they walk out. But now, they ain't coming in. I've become stronger in that. I'll come out to you. Let's talk in the street. The filth is in the street, and your faith is filthy. You're foolish in what you're believing. Don't pull your punches. Just tell them they're wrong. They've been told they're wrong before. You've just got to do it a little bit stronger. You've got to use wise words. You've got to tell them that they are on their way down the road to destruction, because it is absolutely heretical to say, and your teachers teach you it because you're sons of Mormons, that you saw Jesus as the, or saw Satan, Lucifer, as the brother of Yeshua Jesus. That is heretical. Then their poor wives are just going to be getting pregnant forever and ever throughout eternity. Don't they read the book? There is no marriage in heaven. You will be like the angels. The angels can't procreate. So Lot goes out, shuts the door behind him and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." So now he's trying to get into politics. You don't get into politics. I would never enter into politics as a pastor. If the council came along to me and said, "John, we want you to come on the council and sit because we want to try, you know, we've tried everything else, we want to try Christianity." I say, "Well, okay, all of you are sacked because I'm bringing in men of God. Unless you become men of God, then I'll train you. Then we'll get the city right. Then we'll get the borough right. Then we'll see equality and equity for all. But I ain't working with unsaved men. I don't want to sit on the platform with them. I won't sit with mockers. I don't want to go into their buildings. I don't want to talk with them about foolish things, because their programs are not God's program." That's the problem. That's the snare when men, when God gives them a big ministry, and then they can begin to talk with the world. But it leavens them. They have got to be righteous and say, "No, I'm walking away." And warn the others, say, "Don't go with them," because they just want somebody who is going to get into their ways, going to accommodate them, going to agree with them, compromise and conform. No. The persistence of sin is there. "See now," look at the foolishness of Lot. "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man." So they're virgins. "Please let me bring them out to you." So he's given them a nice little sweet dish now. You know, they've not known a man, so they're virgins. So you like to have sex. This is Sodom. So now you can have a virgin. "Don't touch these men, please. They're my guests." These are his daughters, his flesh and blood. What was he thinking? "I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish." What were they into? Bondage, whipping, drugs? With animals? I don't know. It's just sickening. "Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." So he's got such righteousness of manners, of guests, etc., but he's willing to give his daughters away. No wonder they said, "Let's get Dad drunk and we'll lie with him." Because as you teach your children, so your children grow up. And they said, "Stand back." Then they said, "This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge." So now he's not Mr. Favorite anymore. Now he realizes he's got nothing in common with them. "He's now acting as a judge. Now he will deal worse with you than with them." You see how evil just increases? You can't change evil. Evil has to repent. "So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to breaking down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house." Men? Yeah, these were men. These were angels, men from God. Hallelujah. "And they shut the door, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they all became weary trying to find the door." So every time Satan was saying, "Yeah, keep going, you're nearly there," God's Spirit was saying, "No, turn this way," and they're bumping into one another. It was like the Dodgems. It was total confusion. The punishment for sin is there in verse 10 and 11. And that's what we can see. The moral perversions bring this. Moral perversions. It's as simple as that. Now, you see, the problem with life is society today whitewashes walls. It whitewashes sin. "Israel, we're going to give you peace if you give this bit of land to the Palestinians." It doesn't belong to the Palestinians. Amen. It belongs to Hashem. So we call a drunkard an alcoholic. We call a thief a kleptomaniac. He just has a need for your things. "But I work hard for those things." Well, you can give a little, can't you? It's just as a disease he's got. He's in society. It's in today's world. You see, he's allowed to have because he doesn't have. That's why we give so much away when people come. That's why we're in debt. That's why we're going under. There's no recovery for this country. Don't think about it. There is no recovery for this country. It's going down. Going down. So we call a sodomite a gay because he's all happy. He's tiptoeing through the tulips. Why? Why do we call him a gay? Because this is to try and hide the vileness of what it's all about. AIDS is anal injected death sentence. That's why down Canal Street, they've taken the C out of canal and somebody scraped it off as a joke, but it's speaking the truth. And that's why several today have thrown themselves into the canal and committed suicide, because it's a perversion. That's why a mother who aborts a baby is never the same again. Unless she comes to know Christ, then she can have forgiveness. Then she can have cleansing of conscience. But I've spoken to women who are not born again, and they are besought themselves with, you know, anguish because they realize they committed murder. Now, I've got some pictures of babies aborted at only several weeks, not at 16 weeks, at several weeks, that is a little human being. And it would sicken you, because when the knife goes in, they go for the jugular. They cut it. And they have to put the pieces together afterwards to make sure she's not poisoned. Then they'll use salt, because that will burn the baby and bring it out quicker. Then they'll use water and a solution of salt, and they'll use other things. Well, we've got Mr. Obama, who was state governor, who really didn't get enough votes to become president. I'm not sure he's actually a native-born American. But he signed a document for the very latest way of abortion. Drill into the baby's head and suck out its brains. That's what he did as a legislator. And this is Lot legislating with these people from Sodom. Can you see how you cannot get into the world's ways and try and change it? God can only change the world. Salvation belongs to him. That's why men in leadership are fools, fools before God, foolish in their ways. Call no man a fool, I know, but they are foolish, certainly. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You foolish backslider, get back to God. You foolish worldly believer, get back into the house of God, in the ways of God, his rules. Amen. Nothing else, no plan of man, no matter how good it sounds, or we'll do it slowly with them. No, give them the gospel. God brings them through either slowly or quickly. Not you. People seem to take over from God. I led so-and-so to Jesus last week. I said, no, you didn't. The Holy Spirit did the leading. You had the privilege of praying. Don't put words into perversion, of pride on your lips, which shouldn't be there in the first place. You see, in the past, the sodomites kept to the back streets. But today we're told, in fact, they demand that we are to be tolerant towards these people, to the cross-dressers, to lesbians, to gays. And of course, evangelists have been arrested, and yet they know the law. The police constables of each part of the country know the law. And so that's why I received an email that the Lawyers Institute have written to the government and the chief constable to say, will you instruct your officers to stop arresting evangelists? Because they're allowed to speak what is in the Bible. It's not their opinion, it's God's word. So whenever you say something, very quickly in that conversation with anyone, say, this is not my opinion, this is not my words, this is God's word. I'm simply telling you. That way they have to attack the book. Well, that's what happened in the garden. Satan attacked the word of the book that was to come. That's why there's to be no revisions. That's why we're not to revisit things and say, well, it doesn't fit in with today's society. We're going to have to change the gospel slightly. No, you're not. No, baby, you're not changing the gospel one iota. One iota. It's important. If a husband or a wife commits adultery, we say they've had an affair. You see how they whitewash? So a sodomite becomes a gay, a thief becomes a kleptomaniac, a woman has just had an early pregnancy, not an abortion, an early termination, she's committed murder. And the doctors and the nurses are just as culpable, unless it's to save the life of the mother. Someone who steals is not a thief. No, he's just a kleptomaniac. He's got a social disease. Let's send him to the Bahamas for a holiday. That's what they were doing about 15 years ago, right in the paper. Young men that were breaking in had a string of burglaries, Well, you know, they interviewed that guy 10 years later when he was 25. And he said, quite honestly, it was on Channel 4, I think Channel 4. He says, there were a bunch of mugs. He said, I had the greatest holiday of my life. I was swimming in crystal clear water. He said, as soon as I got back, within 3 weeks, I was stealing again. Social programs of men don't work. Simple as that. The flesh will always justify the flesh. God is the final judge. Men cannot legislate. Lot couldn't legislate. We will deal with you worse than with these men in a minute. That's what happens if you work with the world. They'll turn on you. Why? Because evil must reach its zenith, the Bible says. Then God steps in. That's the story of Lot. Moral perversions because of the prevalence, the presence, and the punishment of sin. And it's just not morally, physically, it's mentally. What happens is the mental pollutions, after the moral perversions, they will corrode your faith. Lot had lost the plot. Simple as that. His values were totally worldly. He was backslidden and a worldly believer. They corrode your faith. They corrode your faith. And that's exactly what we see in chapter 19. If we go to it again, verses 12 to 26. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? This is the angel speaking. Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place now, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. That's how powerful angels are. One of them is going to increase the sun. Well, they won't have to go to sunny Spain or anywhere else. This country will blister in the days ahead. Now, what has been will be again. It tells us for 3.5 years in Israel, there was a great famine, no rain, no provisions, the crops dying, and yet they were able to live for 3.5 years. That's going to happen. It's a type of the Great Tribulation. All the grass, all the trees, all the waters will be polluted. All the sea fish will die. And so Lot went and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Why? Because of his testimony. He wasn't the righteous man speaking about reverence and devotion each day. He wasn't the man who taught the fear of God, because the fear of God brings wisdom and knowledge. 2 Proverbs teach us that. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your 2 daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Why? Because the son-in-laws weren't coming. They're excluded in that verse. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and they got out of the city as quick as they could. That's what happens when you come into these situations. You get out as fast as your little feet will take you. Don't enter into any program, any sinful area. Don't go to prostitutes unless you've prayed and fasted, and there's at least 2 of you going to them. Why? Because you're going to need a witness. Because prostitutes have got a minder, and the minder sees you as stopping his business. He knows what the gospel will do because he's rejecting the gospel himself. He knows the prostitute will lay aside, become like Rahab, become a woman of peace, and look for the scarlet cord. She'll look for the line of the blood right up to Yeshua, Jesus, and she'll become born again. God is rescuing in all these perversions. And we are to be part of it. But we have got to be patient at times, men of God, not to argue, give them the word, shake the dust off your feet, praying that God will make these people relent because they've been trapped, taken captive by the devil. And so they corrode your faith. His faith was corroded. Then they will corrupt your family. And that's what we see, don't we? And I don't want to go through that. I've already mentioned it 2 or 3 times. His children, his daughters, go into the vileness of Sodom. Because once you've been in Sodom and you don't follow the ways of the Lord, you will go into the ways of Sodom. He was rescued by Abram, who became Abraham, but he goes straight back into Lot. The dog returns to its vomit, and the pig returns into the dirt. This is the book of wisdom. This contains the oracles, the wisdom, the knowledge, the foreknowledge, the power, the presence of God. This is holy. It's called the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make you wise. They are the all-sufficient for your faith, for your integrity, for your conduct, for your character, for your family, for your life, for your business, for your career, for your education. Know the Scriptures, my son. Listen to wisdom, the Proverbs say, and learn from me. Do not go where the harlot is. Mae West is all over. She's not dead. It's hello, boys, come up here. It's party time. Drugs. Today, people that take drugs, well, they're not druggies. They've just got a social disease. And so, John, why can't you be more tolerant? You're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, but I have to change people because Christ in me, the hope of glory, is what they need. We need to change people with the glorious gospel. If they don't change, then Jesus said, if you Jews don't change, the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you do not believe I am, you will die in your sins. He didn't mince his words. They didn't like it when he said, you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Well, that was cannibalism. Now, that's what Catholics practice, because the bread and the wine become the actual body and the blood of Messiah. Absolute nonsense. Indulgences and favors and saints and purgatory and this and that and aye, 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 aye. No wonder the world's confused. My yoke is easy, light. Take it upon me. Learn of me. It takes time to learn. So go forth, do well, learn the lessons of Lot. You'll shake his hand in glory, because God is the one who makes righteous. He made the mistakes. God allowed him. He could have checked him way back, but God said, you can go your own way, but I've chosen you, and you will be a testimony. Your story, your life story, the lessons of your life will be a testimony to all that come after you. So that's why he's in glory. The Lord bless you. Let's pray.